This message comes from On Point sponsor Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield approval. If you qualify and if rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate also drops. To learn more, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. The civil war in Yemen may be the world's worst but least covered humanitarian disaster right now. More than 22 million people are in need of urgent aid there. This hour, we're going to take a hard look at the U.S.'s role in that complex catastrophe. But first, some analysis on the story everyone's talking about, Paul Manafort's guilty verdict and Michael Cohen's guilty plea for campaign finance violations yesterday. Manafort, of course, President Trump's former campaign manager. Cohen, his former personal lawyer. Joining us now with some analysis is Jens David Olin. He is vice dean of Cornell Law School and an expert on white-collar crime. Welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me.
So of the two cases with Manafort and Michael Cohen, which one do you think is, they're both significant, but which one do you think bears the more, bears the greater weight right now?
I think Cohen is the bigger story because the Russia investigation has really been focused on Trump's entourage and those who are in the sort of greater orbit of the administration and the campaign. But with Cohen's guilty plea, we now have an allegation that touches Trump personally because Cohen is willing to testify that he engaged in these campaign finance violations at the direction of Trump. So this is really the first time that an allegation of illegality touches Trump personally.
We're already hearing, though, some pushback from members of the Republican Party or even party analysts, et cetera, saying that perhaps they're not, well, I don't want to say they're not as worried, but that they look at Michael Cohen as a problematic witness, because he had lied in the past and because of his previous actions. How significant is that?
Well, I think you can always go after a witness's credibility, especially when it's someone who faces criminal liability and then decides to cooperate with the government. It's always people who are involved in inappropriate behavior. They're not squeaky clean. And this, I think, is of a piece with that. But, on the other hand, Cohen was part of Trump's inner circle. This is someone who was a complete confidant. And if Cohen wasn't a trustworthy person, then why did Trump trust him for so many years with really these really personal problems that he tasked Cohen with solving? So it's really sort of hard to explain that away. He was clearly trustworthy enough for Trump, and so it seems like the rest of us should believe what Cohen has to say.
So, I mean, if you were Robert Mueller right now or Mueller's investigators, so specifically what aspects of what Cohen might have to say would you be looking at?
Well, I mean, I think what Cohen has allegedly already provided is the audio recordings to the government, and the value of his testimony is he can both authenticate the recordings by saying that these are an accurate description of what occurred in his conversations, and he can also place the audio recordings in a greater context. He can say what happened before the conversation that was recorded and what happened in its aftermath. And, specifically, Cohen's value to Mueller is that Cohen can say, I did this not on my own. I wasn't a third party that was acting as a rogue agent. I was acting on Trump's behalf or at his direction to influence the election. And really the sort of key to the criminal case, at least against Trump, is what his intent was and whether or not his intent was to influence the election by having these payments be made to Stormy Daniels. And Cohen can say, yeah, that's exactly why Trump wanted to do this. He wanted to shut this down before the election.
Now, moving over to Paul Manafort's guilty verdicts yesterday, just briefly, if we could, he was found guilty on 8 out of 18 total charges against him. Now, for this round of his trial in Alexandria, none of these charges pertain to the campaign itself, but to actions that Manafort took prior to being the president's campaign manager for the 2016 election. So, I mean, but nevertheless, it was the first chance that Robert Mueller's team got to, make its case in court. So how significant is it that they got a guilty verdict on eight charges?
It's significant, and I think it really vindicates the government's decision to build a very expansive case against Manafort with all of these different sort of subsets, these different factual allegations, these different charges, and multiple counts of multiple charges. So they really built a very expansive legal case against Manafort, and that really sort of insulated them from the risk that the jury might either acquit on some charges or get deadlocked and not be able to return a verdict on some of the charges. They got eight convictions, and that's enough to potentially put Manafort away for a very long time. And, you know, like the television show, eight is enough. I mean, eight is enough to get the prosecution what they wanted, which is the risk of serious jail time. I would say that this is not, you know, Manafort's crimes, at least the ones that were outlined in this trial, go to him personally mm-hmm. and his business enterprise, and they don't really touch Trump and the allegation of Russian interference in the election. But I do think it speaks well of the Mueller investigation that they're pursuing real crimes, that these are serious allegations, and a jury of his peers who were independent and impartial decided that that the government proved its case and Manafort was guilty. So it doesn't seem like a witch hunt.
Right. Well, Jens David Olien, Vice Dean and Professor of Law at Cornell Law School, giving us some analysis on Paul Manafort and Michael Cohen and what impact that might have on President Trump. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.